heedlessness. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Excellence of Salat ala Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has stated, O people, indeed the person to receive instant relief from the anxieties and accountability on the day of judgment will be the one reciting durood upon me abundantly in this world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Brick of gold. It is narrated, a pious person once found a brick of gold. Captivated by his newly found wealth, he began to fantasize about his future. He spent the entire night in future planning, thinking of delicious foods, expensive clothing, having a number of servants to serve him and to fulfill his every need. Enchanted by the newly found wealth, fantasizing about living a luxurious life, he was entirely heedless of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The next morning, as he left home, he saw a man forming clay on the top of a grave, making bricks. Instantly, he was shocked and his veil of heedlessness lifted. He began to weep, thinking, some day one might make bricks from the soil of my grave as well. Woe to me! My luxurious abode and fine clothes, etc., would be left behind. If I desired for the deceptive lifestyle that this gold brick will bring me, it will make me lead a life of heedlessness. If I have to fall in love, I should love my Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he abandoned the gold brick and adopted abstinence. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Causes of heedlessness. Dear Islamic brothers, truly the chances of falling prey to heedlessness are greater when one has an abundance of material wealth. The one who adores worldliness has indeed fallen prey to heedlessness. Heedlessness distances one from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Fair trading is a blessing. Wealth is also a blessing. A splendid house is also a blessing. A nice conveyance is also a blessing. The children are also a blessing for the parents. But engrossing in some worldly thing more than of what is essentially required causes heedlessness. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said in the Quran, in part 28, Surah Al-Munafiqun, verse number 9, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. Translation taken from Kanz al-Iman. O people who believe, may not your wealth or your children cause you to neglect the remembrance of Allah, and whoever does this, so it is they who are in a loss. From this ayah, those individuals should seek heed who, when called towards righteousness and are asked to offer salah, present lame excuses like, we are busy in providing provisions. Is struggle for family requirements not worship? When we will get spare time, we will join you in the masjid. Indeed, it is heedlessness that dictates such excuses. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Futile pleas of the dead. A word of caution for those who are concerned only with accumulating the temporary things of this world. For those who endure the hardships of traveling to other countries in order to earn money but hesitate to go to the masjid. For those who spend lavishly on interior designing of their homes but fail to donate even a little towards charity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. For those are willing to endure all sorts of hardship to acquire wealth but are not bothered about earning virtuous deeds. Take heed before death carries you away from your comfortable beds of your lavishly decorated luxurious rooms to a terrifying dark grave infested with creepy insects. Then you will plead desperately, O Allah Azza wa Jalla, send me back into the world so that I may worship you. O Allah Azza wa Jalla, please send me back. I promise I will spend all my wealth in your path. I will always offer my salah with jamaat in the first row with primary takbir. I will not skip even tahajjud salah. In fact, I will spend most of my time in the masjid. I will let my beard grow and will keep zulfin as well. I will also keep a turban, an imama, on my head all the time. O Allah Azza wa Jalla, send me back. Give me one chance. I shall hoist the flag of sunnah everywhere, eradicating all the fashions from the face of the world. O Rabb Azza wa Jalla, give me just one more chance. I will commit myself to righteous deeds. These pleas will be pointless for those who have spent their days and nights indulging in sins. The Holy Quran has forewarned us. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said in part 28, Surah Munafiqun, verse number 10 and 11. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَأَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَى أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Translation taken from Kanzul Iman. And spend from what we have provided you before death approaches any one of you. And he then says, My Rabb, why did you not give me respite for a little while, so that I could give charity and become amongst the virtuous? And Allah Azza wa Jalla will never give respite to any soul when its promise arrives. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is aware of your deeds. Dila ghafil na ho yakdam ye dunya chor jana hai. Baghiche chor kar khali zami andar samana hai. Tera nazuk badan bhai jo lete sej phoolon par. Ye hoga ek din bejaan ise keeron ne khana hai. Tu apni maut ko mat bhool kar sama chalne ka. زمین کی خاک پر سونا ہے اینٹوں کا سرانا ہے نہ بیلی ہو سکے بائی نہ بیٹا باپ تے مائی تو کیوں پھرتا ہے سودائی عمل نے کام آنا ہے کہاں ہے زور نمرودی کہاں ہے تخت فیرونی گئے سب چھوڑ یہ فانی اگر نادان دانا ہے عزیزہ یاد کر جس دن کے اسرائیل آئیں گے نہ جاوے کوئی تیرے سنگ اکیلا تو نے جانا ہے جہاں کے شغل میں شاغل خدا کے ذکر سے غافل کرے دعا کہ یہ دنیا میرے دائم ٹھکانا ہے غلام ایک دم نہ کر غفلت حیاتی پر نہ ہو غرہ خدا کی یاد کر ہر دم کہ جس نے کام آنا ہے. O heart, don't be heedless. You will pass away in a split second. Leaving the gardens, you will move to a grave isolate. Brother, your body, delicate and frail, leads a life so ornate. You will one day be lifeless, consumed by creepy crawly pests. Your death, don't forget, prepare for your departure. You will sleep on soil and dirt, brick will be the headrest. No help from brother, nor from son, father or mother. Why do you roam and wander, when only deeds will benefit yonder? Where is the power of Namrud? Where is the throne of Pharaoh? Everyone left everything behind. It is all mortal, if you understand. My dear, remember the day when angel Israel will come. You will go alone. With you no one will come indulged in the activities of the world, heedless of the remembrance of Rabb, as if claiming that this world is never ending and endless. O servant, don't be heedless, don't be arrogant of this mortal life. Glorify your Rabb every moment. Only this will be helpful. Strange guilt. It is stated in Mukashfatul Qulub, Sayyiduna Shaykh Abu Ali Daqaq Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has said, a great saint Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi was very ill. So I went to visit him. There was a crowd of people around him. The saint was weeping. I asked, O Shaykh, are you crying because you are leaving this world? He replied, no, I am weeping because I have missed my salah. I asked, how did you miss your salah? I was said, whenever I prostrated, I was heedless. Whenever I lifted my head from the prostration, I was heedless. And now I am dying in a state of utter heedlessness. He then let out a deep sigh from the depths of his heart and read out four Arabic couplets, the translation of which is as follows. I pondered about resurrection, judgment and my grave, alone after a distinguished life, seeking a favor for my sins and the earth my embrace. I have thought about the duration of my judgment, and when the book of deeds is presented, the disgrace. But O Creator and Cherisher, I am hopeful of receiving your mercy, Rahmat, my sins only you can erase. Entering hell weeping. Dear Islamic brothers, the parable mentioned above is alarming. Look at Allah's pious saints who spend every moment of their lives in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But despite their constant and continuous devotion, their humbleness and humility keeps them from boasting about their worship and causes them to weep out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. On the other hand, we the heedless ones, who do not possess even a single good deed and are void of devoutness, think highly of ourselves and constantly boast about our righteous deeds. The godly people, despite being far from sins, tremble by the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla and weep. But the heedless people remain engaged in their sinful activities privately and publicly. Laughing boastfully, they relay their tales of disobedience. Beware, Hujjatul Islam, Imam Muhammad Ghazali alayhi rahmatullahi al-wali has reported that Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has said, the one who will commit sin laughing will be made to enter the hell weeping. What if one's faith in Islam is lost? This is a moment of reflection for those telling a lie laughing, for those breaking promises laughing, for those selling the faulty goods laughing, for those watching the movies and dramas laughing, and for those listening to music, for those causing grief to other Muslims and hurting their feelings. How serious would it be for us if Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam became displeased with us? How fatal would be it
for us if we would lose our faith as a consequence of committing the sins fearlessly, and if we would be destined for hell. Listen to the following ayah carefully. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the 82nd verse of Surah At-Tawbah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا. Translation taken from Kanzul Iman. So they should laugh a little and weep much. Three messengers of death. It is stated, Sayyiduna Yaqub ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam was a friend with the angel of death, Sayyiduna Israel alayhi salam. Once when Sayyiduna Israel alayhi salam came to meet Sayyiduna Yaqub ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam, asked him, "Have you come to just see me or to take out my soul?" It was replied, "For seeing you." Sayyiduna Yaqub ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam requested, "Before you come to take out my soul, please send me your messengers." Sayyiduna Israel alayhi salam said, "I will send two or three messengers towards you." Therefore, when the angel of death came to take out his soul, Sayyiduna Yaqub ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam asked, "Where are the messengers you were supposed to send towards me before taking out my soul?" Sayyiduna Israel alayhi salam replied, "White hair after black hair, weakness after physical strength, and a hunched back after a straight one. O Yaqub ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam, these are nothing but my messengers towards a human before death." How alarming are these two Arabic couplets. مَضَى الدَّهْرُ وَالْأَيَّامُ وَالظَّنْبُ حَاصِلٌ وَجَاءَ رَسُولُ الْمَوْتِ وَالْقَلْبُ غَافِلٌ نَعِيمُكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا غُرُورٌ وَحَسْرَةٌ وَعَيْشُكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا مُحَالٌ وَبَاطِلٌ. Days have passed but sins prevail. Angel of death has arrived but the heart is stale. Your worldly luxuries are a deceit due to which you will be in pain. Your desire to live in the world forever is a thought in vain. Illness is also a messenger of death. Dear Islamic brothers, the angel of death sends his messengers before death. In addition to the aforementioned messengers of death, there are some others as well that have been mentioned in hadith, e.g. illness, impairment of eyesight and hearing are also messengers of death. Among us, many have encountered the messengers of Sayyiduna Israel alayhi salam, but what a great heedlessness is prevalent. We tend to console ourselves by attributing our hair turning white to flu, although this degradation is the messenger of death. Similarly, in sickness we remain heedless and forget that people die daily due to similar diseases. Little do we realize that the illness that seems minor could indeed turn fatal and cause our close ones to grieve over us and make our enemies rejoice. The dead person will be buried in the dark grave accompanied by his deeds only, good or bad. Name inscribed on the door of hell. O people who are called by Mr. today and will be called by late tomorrow, remember, whoever is victim of heedlessness and is insistent towards sins is indeed lost and is wandering in the darkness of wrongdoings. If Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam become displeased with him, he will be tormented in the grave and in the afterlife. Then remorse will be futile. O people, you still have a chance to repent. Repent sincerely and make a firm intention to offer salah. Observe fast in the month of Ramadanul Mubarak and abide by the sunnah of the most beloved Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. Our Holy Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam has warned us, whoever will miss a single salah deliberately, his name will be inscribed on that door of hell through which he will enter hell. Similarly, it is mentioned in another hadith, whoever skips even only one fast in the month of Ramadan without shari exemption or sickness, fasts of lifetime cannot compensate for it, even if he observes that fast afterwards. Eyes filled with fire, those who stare at women, those who look at Amrad lustfully, those who watch the movies and dramas, those listening to music and backbiting should repent immediately. Otherwise, the forthcoming torment will certainly be unbearable. It is stated, anyone who fills his eyes with haram, i.e. sees what is forbidden, his eyes will be filled with fire on the Day of Judgment. Needle of Fire. Allama Abu al-Farj Abdul Rahman bin Jawzi Ali Rahmatullah al-Qawi has narrated, to gaze at the beauty of a woman is one of the arrows soaked with the poison of Satan. Whoever does not protect his eyes from looking at Na-Mahram, a needle of fire will be glided in his eye on the judgment day. Nails hammered into eyes and ears. Sayyiduna Imam Hafiz Abul Qasim Sulaiman Tabarani Qudsira Sirruhun Nurani has reported, the Blessed Prophet ﷺ saw people with nails hammered into their eyes and ears. It was said to the Blessed Prophet ﷺ, they watched what they should not watch and they listened to what they should not listen to. That is, nails were hammered into eyes and ears of those who would look or listen to prohibited things. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Molten lead into eyes. It has been reported, whoever would look lustfully at the beauty and loveliness of a woman, molten lead will be poured into his eyes on the judgment day. Certainly, brother's wife is also non-mahram. The brothers of the groom who have been intentionally looking at their brother's wife, interacting freely and jovially with her, should tremble with the fear of Allah's torment and repent instantly. Such interactions do not become lawful if the brother's wife calls the younger brother of her husband as her own younger brother, and the elder brother of her husband as her own elder brother. Such frankness indulges both sides into sinful activities like committing the sins of lustful gaze, talking together openly and joking with each other. Remember, this unlawful frankness is highly alarming. Safety lies in not looking at each other and not talking with each other frankly and needlessly. Dekhna hai to Madina dekhiye, kasr shahi ka nazara kuch nahi. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. The brothers of the groom and the bride must remember what is mentioned in the hadith. Al-aynani tazniyani, i.e. the eyes do commit fornication. If it is difficult for a woman living in a joint family to observe veil against closely related non-mahram, she may uncover her face, but her dress should neither be so thin that the color of hair or skin is visible, nor should clothes be so skin tight that the shape of the body organs and the profile of the chest are noticeable. Face like that of the fire worshippers. Dear Islamic brothers, it is haram, prohibited, to shave off the beard or to trim it to less than a fist length. Sayyiduna Imam Muslim radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has warned us, trim the mustache thoroughly, let your beards grow, and do not make the face like that of the fire worshippers. This hadith is pricking the conscience of the Muslims. Isn't it strange that the people claim to love the most beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam dearly, yet they imitate his enemies? Sarkar ka aashik bhi kya dari mundata hai? Kyun ishq ka chehre se izhar nahi hota? Can the devotee of the Prophet trim or shave his beard? Why his devotion is not apparent from his face? Where shari veiling is required. O Islamic sisters, listening to me from the veiled lobby, pay attention. Unveiling is haram. To look at the men out of lust is a haram act that leads to hell. Shari veiling for a woman is a must from her all male cousins. A man should observe shari veiling from wives of paternal and maternal uncles. Shari veiling is a must between a woman and her spiritual guide, Murshid. A woman cannot kiss the hands of her spiritual guide. She cannot even have his hand placed on her head to get blessings. When a girl reaches 9 years of age, advise her to observe hijab, and when a boy reaches 12 years of age, prevent him from the company of women. Consequences of indulging in prohibited fashion. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, at the night of ascension, I saw some men whose skins were being cut with the scissors of fire. I said, who are these? Jibreel alayhi salam told me, they would adorn themselves with the prohibited things. And I saw a foul-smelling pit from which the sound of screaming and shouting was emanating. I said, who are these? It was told, these are women who adorn themselves with forbidden things. Remember, nail polish forms a layer over the nails. Therefore, neither wudu nor ghusl is valid if performed in this condition. If there is no wudu and ghusl, then salah is invalid. I suggest that all Islamic sisters wear madni burqa, i.e. veil. Moreover, they should use such hand gloves and socks through which the skin of hands and feet is not visible. Never expose hands and feet to a non-mahram. Makeup for qada salah, i.e. miss salah. Mu'adha Allah Azza wa Jalla. If one has missed salah or fasts of Ramadan, he should calculate the number and should make up for the same amount. Repent from making the delay as well. To find out about an easy method for making up the missed salah, purchase the book entitled Laws of Salah, published by Maktabatul Madina. This book describes essential rulings of wudu, ghusl, salah and miss salah. It is quite possible that after reading this book, you might regret saying, alas, until now I have been doing wrongly with wudu, ghusl and salah. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. O Islamic brothers, let's express your spirits by invoking InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla in a loud voice with a firm intention. From now onwards, I will never miss any salah. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. I will never miss any fast in Ramadan. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. I will never watch movies and dramas. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. I will never listen to music. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. I will never shave my beard. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. I will never trim my beard less than a fistful length. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Madani reform by Dawat-e-Islami. All of you need to embrace the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami with the intention of earning sawab, travel with the Madani qafilas, with the devotees of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, in order to learn sunnah and make a routine of filling in the booklet of Madani inamat whilst doing Fikr-e Madina daily and submitting it to the representative of Dawat-e-Islami within the first 10 days of the new Madani Islamic month. You will succeed in this world as well as in the afterlife, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Let's listen to a Madani reform brought by Dawat-e-Islami. It will surely inspire you and will enlighten your inner being, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Corpse of Muhammad Ihsan Attari. A modern youngster, Muhammad Ihsan, a resident of Gulbahar area of Karachi, embraced the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami and became a disciple of Sayyidina Ghawth-e-Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu by virtue of Ashik-e-Madina Afi anhu. His lifestyle transformed after becoming Qadiri. He grew a fistful beard and would keep wearing a green turban on his head at all times. He completed the reading of the Holy Quran with its correct pronunciation at Dawat-e-Islami's Madrasatul Madina for adults. He would also visit the people in order to spread call towards righteousness by his individual effort. One day he felt pain in his throat. Despite treatment, the illness worsened severely to the extent that he came to his deathbed. In this very state, he got his will composed in the light of Ashik-e-Madina's Madani will, which can be purchased from Maktabatul Madina, and handed it over to his Nigran of Dawat-e-Islami. After this, he closed his eyes forever. He was approximately 35 years old at the time of his death. He was buried in the Gulbahar Cemetery, as per his will. Islamic Brothers held a gathering of zikr and naat near his grave for about 12 hours. About 3.5 years after his death, an incident happened on Tuesday the 6th of Jumadiyul Akhir, 1418 AH, 7th of October 1997, that the dead body of another Islamic brother, Muhammad Usman Attari, was brought to the same cemetery. When some attendees approached the grave of Muhammad Ihsan Attari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi to offer Fatiha, i.e. Isale Sawab, they were amazed to see the spectacle from the opening in the grave that Muhammad Ihsan Attari, who died about 3.5 years ago, was resting in peace, wrapped in a fragrant shroud with the green turban on his head. The news spread like wildfire, and people came all night long to see the body of Muhammad Ihsan Attari wrapped in his shroud, looking all fresh. Amongst those who visited were some who had misconceptions about Dawat-e-Islami. But after witnessing this special favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla towards the Islamic brother, they dropped their misunderstandings and became devoted to Dawat-e-Islami. Jo apni zindagi mein sunnatein unki sajate hain, Khuda o Mustafa apna inhe piyara banate hain. Those who spend their life abiding by the sunnah would become beloved of Allah Azza wa Jalla and Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Martyr of Dawat-e-Islami. Dear Islamic brothers, from the above event, it's not just one of its kind. You might be aware of the assassination attempt against this servant of sunnah, i.e. Amir Ahli Sunnah, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadiri Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, on the 25th of Rajab 1416 AH in Lahore. As a result of that attempt, two Muballighin, i.e. two preachers of Dawat-e-Islami, Haji Uhud Raza At-Tari and Muhammad Sajjad At-Tari, Rahmahumullah Ta'ala, were martyred. About 8 months later, the grave of the martyr of Dawat-e-Islami, Haji Uhud Raza At-Tari, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, got damaged due to heavy rainfall in Markazul Awliya Lahore. It became necessary to shift his corpse. To the astonishment of all those present, when his grave was opened, his body was found intact and unharmed. In presence of several people, the body of the martyr of Dawat-e-Islami was shifted to a new grave. The details of this event have been mentioned in the booklet, The Marvels of Dawat-e-Islami, Part 2. I request that all the Islamic brothers and Islamic sisters to keep embracing the Sunnah, inspiring Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami till their last breath. There is no membership system in Dawat-e-Islami. Please regularly attend the Dawat-e-Islami's weekly Sunnah inspiring Ijtima that is held in your area and travel with the devotees of Rasul in the Madani Qafilas for learning the Sunnahs. Everybody should struggle for inculcating Sunnah in his department and should call others towards righteousness. Dear Islamic brothers, bringing my discourse to the end, I would like to have the privilege of mentioning the excellence of Sunnah, a few Sunnah and Islamic manners. The most blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, "The one who loves my Sunnah loves me, and the one who loves me will be with me in paradise." 25 Madani Pearls Regarding Aqiqah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, "A boy is pawned for his aqiqah. An animal be slaughtered on his behalf on the seventh day. He be given a name and his head be shaved." What is meant by the child being pawned is that his parents will not be able to gain full benefit from him unless they perform his aqiqah. Some muhaddiseen have stated that the protection, growth and good habits of the child are all associated with his aqiqah. An animal slaughtered for paying gratitude on the birth of a child is called aqiqah. When a child is born, it is mustahab to say azan and iqama in his or her ear. Saying azan will relieve from adversities, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. It is better to say the azan 4 times in the right ear and the iqama 3 times in the left ear. It has become a common tradition that azan is invoked only in case of birth of son and not in case of daughter. This is not good. Azan and ikama should be invoked in case of daughter also. Name the child on the seventh day and have his or her head shaved and perform the aqiqah when the head is shaved. Weigh the child's hair shaved from the head and donate gold or silver of equivalent weight to the poor. Slaughter 2 goats in the aqiqah of a son and 1 she-goat in the aqiqah of a daughter. That is, it is better to slaughter male animals for a boy and a female animal for a girl. However, if she-goats are sacrificed for boy in his aqiqah and a goat is sacrificed for girl in her aqiqah, there is no harm in it. If the father or the guardian of the boy cannot afford to slaughter 2 animals, 1 animal will also suffice. Share for aqiqah may be included in the ritual sacrifice of a camel, etc. To perform aqiqah is neither farz nor wajib, only a sunnah, a mustahabba. if one's financial condition allows him, he should perform it. Still, there is no sin if he does not do so. However, the one not performing it will not be able to get its reward. It is strictly impermissible for a poor person to borrow money on interest to perform aqiqah. If a child has passed away before he reaches the age of 7 days and his aqiqah has not been performed, this will not affect his ability of intercession, etc., as he has passed away before the time of aqiqah. However, if the child whose time of aqiqah approached, i.e. the child is 7 days old and the parents are capable of performing the aqiqah, but they do not perform it without any valid reason, then the child will not be able to intercede for his parents on the judgment day. To perform aqiqah on the 7th day of the birth is a sunnah, and same is preferable. If not performed on the 7th day, it can be performed on the 14th or the 21st day of the birth. If not on the 7th day, it can be done on any other day. The sunnah will get fulfilled. If someone's aqiqah was not performed, it can be performed in youth or even in old age. The Blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam performed his own aqiqah after he had made the proclamation of his prophethood. Some scholars have stated that it is better to hold aqiqah on the 7th or the 14th or the 21st day of the birth, i.e. the selected day should be a multiple of 7. Here is another option that is easy to remember compared to the previous one. Note down or bear in mind the name of the day on which the child was born. When the day preceding the birthday of the child arrives, it will be considered the 7th day of the birth. For example, if the child was born on Friday, then every Thursday will be the 7th day of the birth. If one has forgotten the day of birth, aqiqah may be performed on any day. After shaving the head of the baby, it is better to apply ground saffron on the head. It is better not to break bones of the animal of aqiqah. The meat should be separated, leaving the bones intact. This bodes well for the safety of the child. However, there is no harm even if the meat is prepared breaking the bones. Meat can be cooked in any way. If it is cooked with a sweet taste, it is an omen for the good manners of the child. 2 methods of cooking sweet meat. Number 1. Pour oil or ghee as needed and put 1 kilogram of meat, 1/2 kilogram of sweetened curd, 7 pieces of cardamom and 50 grams of almond into a pot. Thereafter, cook all the ingredients. After it is cooked, add sugar to it as needed. For garnishing, add finely chopped carrots and raisins to it. Number 2. Put 1 kilogram of meat and 1/2 kilogram of beetroot into a pot and cook them in a usual way. It is generally believed that parents and grandparents cannot eat the meat of aqiqah, which is quite wrong. There is no basis for this misconception. The ruling for the meat and skin of the aqiqah animal is the same as is for the animal of the ritual sacrifice. One can use it personally or can give it to some miskeen or can also donate it to any good cause like masjid or madrasa. Animal for aqiqah should meet those conditions which are required in the animal for ritual sacrifice. One can either distribute the uncooked meat to the relatives, friends and poor people, or distribute cooked meat or invite them to the feast. All these conditions are permissible. Feeding the kites and crows on meat of aqiqah is just irrelevant. These kites and crows are fasiq. Aqiqah is performed in thankfulness of birth. Therefore, aqiqah cannot be performed after death. In the aqiqah of a boy, if a father is performing the slaughter, he should invoke,
Allahumma hadhihi aqiqatubni fulanin damuha bidamihi, wa lahmuha bilahmihi, wa azmuha bi'azmihi, wa jilduha bijildihi, wa sha'ruha bi'sha'rihi. Allahumma ij'alha fida'an libni minan nar. Bismillahi Allahu Akbar.
Translation: O Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is the aqiqah of my so and so son. Its blood is for his blood, its meat for his meat, its bone for his bone, its skin for his skin, and its hair for his hair. O Allah Azza wa Jalla, make it an expiation for my son from the fire of hell. With the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah is the greatest. Slaughter the animal right after the dua. Instead of saying so and so, mention the name of the son. If the aqiqah is for a girl, say the word binti instead of ibni, used at two places, and ha instead of he, used at five places. If anyone else other than the father is going to slaughter the animal, he should replace the words ibni fulan or binti fulan with fulan ibni fulan or fulanahu binti fulan. The boy should be referred towards his father and daughter towards her mother. If one does not know dua of aqiqah, he may make intention of aqiqah of his son or daughter in his heart, then slaughter the animal after invoking Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. Aqiqah done in this way is also valid. Dua is not necessary for aqiqah. These days, relatives are invited at the aqiqah ceremony and are served with feast, which is a nice act. The guests also bring some gifts for the child, which is also fine. However, there are some details in this regard. If the guest does not bring any gift, the host or his family members sometimes speak ill of the guest, committing sins. If the guest is sure or almost sure that he will be facing such a situation in case of attending the ceremony, he should not attend it unless compelled. He can attend the ceremony only when deemed necessary and can also bring gifts. However, if the host had the intention of speaking ill of the guest in case of not being given the gifts, or if had no such particular intention, but he is habitual of speaking ill in such circumstances, and if the host is almost sure that the guest has brought the gift to prevent mischief of the host, he, the host, would be a sinner and deserving of hellfire, and the gift is nothing but bribery for him. Otherwise, if there was neither such ill intention nor such habit, there is no harm in receiving the gift. In order to learn thousands of sunnah, buy and go through the following two publications of Maktabatul Madinah. Number 1, 16th volume of Bahari Sharia, the 312-page publication. Number 2, Sunnatain aur Adab, the 120-page publication. One of the best ways to learn sunnah is to travel with the Madani Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami with the devotees of Rasul. لوٹنے رحمتیں قافلے میں چلو سیکھنے سنتیں قافلے میں چلو درد سر ہو اگر دکھ رہی ہو کمر پاؤ گے صحتیں قافلے میں چلو. To gain mercy, travel with the Madani Qafila. To learn sunnah, travel with the Madani Qafila. If you have headache or backache, you will recover, travel with Madani Qafila. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد. The blossoming of sunnah. by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, sunnahs of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam are extensively learned and taught in the congenial Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami, a global non-political movement for the propagation of Quran and Sunnah. It is a Madani request to spend the whole night in the weekly Sunnah inspiring ijtima, commencing at approximately 8 o'clock every Thursdays in your city. Habitualize yourself to a punctual travel in the Madani Qafila with the devotees of the Holy Prophet in order to learn the Sunnah and fill out the Madani Inamat booklet daily, practicing Fikr-i Madina, Madani contemplation, and submit it to the Zimadar, relevant representative of Dawat-i-Islami of your locality. By the blessing of this, Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will develop a mindset and a yearning to protect your faith, adopt the sunnahs, and be averse to sins. Every Islamic brother should develop the Madani mindset that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. In order to reform ourselves, we must act upon the Madani Inamat, and to reform the people of the entire world, we must travel in the Madani Qafilas. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.